Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, we're glad that you're joining us today. Puma. Yes.
Yes, we're so glad you guys are here. And on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between. Friends, we've been going through this little worldview series, and today we're kind of hitting the focal point, really, for us anyway, the big idea of what our worldview is, why we have this worldview, and who is at the center of it.
Well, you say worldview, it's such a big topic, and we're just kind of scratching around a little bit. Hopefully, we've allowed you to think a little bit more about how you view your world, that everybody views life through a particular lens. Your worldview is sort of the glasses on your face, or the contacts, for those that wear contacts.
Right.
You don't look at your contacts, you look through them. You look through your glasses to see the world that you live in. And so everybody has a belief system that they believe to be true and right and real, and not all of them are correct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a great, just to kind of lay out in the beginning here, there are several people who believe they are right. And they're 100% sold that what I believe is true, and I'm devoted, and I'm passionate, and I pray about it, and I'm religious about it. And yet, again, they might feel great, but at the end of the day, if they're wrong, if their worldview is off, that has eternal consequences.
Yeah,
and that's a big deal.
We talked about ideas have consequences, and the greatest consequences are the ones that are eternal.
Yeah.
But even if the consequences are not eternal, they can still be painful and hurt. Yeah. And just because a consequence works out, for instance, doesn't necessarily mean that the view of life is correct. You know, because we're not seeing the end of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking like for like Elon Musk, for instance, right? His desire is SpaceX, get everybody to Mars, right? Because he thinks that mankind, we're killing ourselves, we're going to have another X virus and nuclear, and he wants to save humanity, right? So look at our worldview questions that we asked, three of them. One, where do we come from? What's wrong? And how do we fix it, right? Who or what is man? He would say, Elon Musk, at least some of the things that I've read, even just kind of recently with the whole Neuralink and all these, and AI and all this stuff going on, you know, that there's this almost trying to control the evolutionary progress of man, you know, to kind of an idea, because where mankind currently is not working, or we're going to destroy ourselves. And so he has to fix it, right?
Right. Well, and it's funny because his intentions, I think, are good, honestly. He's not an evil person. He's not like the next Hitler, right? I mean, he doesn't want to destroy people.
No, so even like the whole Neuralink, as far as the things that I've read and understand a little bit, which is pretty crazy, that you can have this implant in your head kind of hooked up to, well, eventually like the internet, but you can control like a cursor on your screen just by thinking about it. You know, they've been able to do that. Yeah. And so someone that has like a stroke or someone that's paralyzed, able to connect those synapses that have been damaged there and maybe regain function. See, that's a good consequence, right? But the underlying worldview behind that is that mankind can solve mankind's problems so that mankind can progress and become more than what we currently are.
Yeah.
You know, well, is that a worldview that's based on an understanding of the biblical God or understanding of the sin in the heart of men, or some of these concepts that we would say are part of the answer or solution to a biblical worldview? You see, ideas have consequences, and you know, the consequences can be negative or positive, but just because some consequences are positive doesn't mean the view is correct, because eventually it's going to leave you wanting.
Yeah.
You know, when Elon Musk gets to Mars and other people get to Mars, what do they experience? All the same problems of man and Mars that they have here on Earth.
That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, see, and this is what we had talked about. Everybody is living out their unconscious answers to those three big worldview questions. And so for you and I today, we want to get back to, what does the Bible say? What is kind of the foundation for a biblical worldview? And we just kind of want to come back and kind of pull things back in and kind of land, land there. And, you know, and then maybe podcasts after this kind of get into some more specific kind of questions.
Yeah, right. No, I love that. Yeah, let's kind of focus in and zero in on where we believe and what our worldview is and who that person is. All right, Puma, I'm going to start with a question, but really a story about a question. when it comes to truth and what truth is, and even the emotional side of truth. Because when I think of truth, I typically think more logical. But I mean, scroll through Instagram, the news, you hear people talking about worldviews and beliefs, and they're screaming, they're standing in front of like trucks, and they're so devoted because their worldview, you know, even abortion or any kind of topical idea of reality, it's so emotional. And a few years back, and I remember there was a professor, and he asked a class, and it was a good question. He's like, what does it feel like to be wrong? And I remember thinking, wow, what does it feel like to be wrong? Well, not good. I mean, what it feels like to be wrong, I feel bad, I feel sad, maybe disappointed, you know, whether it's a relationship. Oh, I was wrong in this friendship. Embarrassing. If it's wrong on a test, I'm frustrated. And so, you know, the people in the classroom gave answers, and he, you know, he listened and nodded. And then at the end of it, the professor, he's like, okay, so I got all this negative feedback. What does it feel like to be wrong? All these negative things, sad, angry, upset, whatever. He's like, I think you're all actually wrong. And I remember looking around the room like, what? Wait, you like feeling wrong? He said, no. What, I asked you what it feels like to be wrong. He said, what you described is when you realize you're wrong. So you can be absolutely wrong and feel great. But the moment you realize you're wrong, when you are able to see through the worldview, through some clarity, wow, what I believe wasn't actually true, that's when the emotions sit. He's like, you can believe that, you know, gravity doesn't exist. And you can have that, but you can be very, very content until the moment you realize, oh man, I just jumped off this house and I'm falling, I hurt my legs. Like, we don't realize we assume that if I feel good, then it is good. If I feel bad, then it is bad. If I feel good, I believe in truth. If I feel bad, I believe in non-truth. But that's actually not true. And a big idea to me really stuck out. You can be absolutely wrong and feel good. Mm-hmm. And feelings does not dictate truth in our worldviews. And here we are at this podcast kind of centering down on who is the person of our worldview. And so Puma, what is our worldview, I guess? And I think maybe this isn't, maybe not a big surprise to our audience, but I think we both agree our worldview is biblical. And so I guess I'm going to ask you why. Why choose a biblical worldview? Out of all the lens, of all the glasses, why choose a biblical worldview? Because sometimes a biblical worldview, honestly, most of the time, can make you feel bad. Sin doesn't make me feel good. And so why Puma, why do we hold this view on having a biblical worldview?
Yeah, well, when we're talking about worldviews, everyone has one. My life, I would like to think that the way I think is right and true, that mm-hmm. how I see the world is right and true. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of people out there in our world. You can go scour the internet. Everybody has their version of the answer to who or what is mankind, mm-hmm. right? Philosophically, you know, there's all kinds of definitions depending on one's view of God. If you are an atheist, you certainly have a position on that. Who or what is mm-hmm. man? Where we come from? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with our world? Lots of different ways people have tried to answer that question.
Yeah.
You know, and then how to fix the world, like Elon Musk. Well, we're going to leave planet Earth and go to Mars mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of populate people throughout, you know, space. Every worldview has to answer questions in a way that makes sense, in a way mm-hmm. that creates meaning to those. I mean, so there's, you know, other questions that kind of filter underneath those three questions. You know, some of them, you know, like what is the origin and nature of the universe, for instance, or what is the nature of humanity? What, you know, where does right and wrong come from? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, these are all kind of sub questions that kind of spawn, you know, what's the meaning and purpose of life? What's the cause of evil and suffering in the world? What happens to a person after death? Is there anything, you know, does this life have any meaning? Does history have any grand purpose or design to it? See, these are all questions that come from one's worldview. And so we're always trying to answer these questions and make all these questions fit together. Hmm. And I am convinced that a biblical view toward these questions actually makes sense of the reality in the world that we live in. Hmm. And so I would say that, you know, where do we come from? That we come from a personal, intelligent God who created us on purpose, a desire to have a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. And I would say that what's wrong with the world is not the world itself, but it's sin. And the Bible says that sin is not something exterior, something mm-hmm. that is something in me, right? Mm-hmm. And in you and in people. And so we are always, in a sense, gravitating toward what is evil and what is impure. I don't have to teach my, you know, I didn't have to teach you how to lie. You learned that. That was your nature to lie.
Right.
I spent my whole, you know, your early days trying to teach you how to tell the truth.
Right.
You know, how to be honest, mm-hmm. right? Because it's your nature. That the Bible describes that problem as something internal. Mm-hmm. And you know, Elon Musk, we're just using him as an example here today. You know, he sees all kinds of problems in our world. People, you know, fighting with each other, wars and all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff, all kinds of evil in our world. How do you fix that? You see, if the issue is not out there, but the issue is inside of me, then how do I fix the problem inside of me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if mm-hmm. I say I love my wife and yet I always gravitate toward being selfish
mm-hmm.
and have a hard time actually genuinely loving her, that's a me problem. And I want a healthy marriage, so how do I fix that, right? Do I fix my wife, or do I have to fix me? Mm-hmm. And I think the Bible is very clear, and my life experience backs this up, that I cannot fix myself. No matter how hard I try, no matter how many New Year's resolutions I make, I always seem to break my own standard or my own rules for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biblical answer, solution to how to fix the problem is that I must confess my sin and trust in Jesus, who the Bible claims and says is God in human flesh. Mm, Jesus, who yeah. loved me, who gave his life on a cross, sacrificed his life. He paid the penalty for my sin. And I love what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. He, Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us mm. so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so a biblical worldview, or I would say that the lens that helps define how to view the world in reality, mankind, history, right and wrong, evil, suffering, everything, eternal destiny, is all centered in the person of Jesus, who mm-hmm. Jesus is, what he was about, and who am I in relationship to him. And so I think the foundation for a biblical worldview is centered in Jesus. And we had talked about this earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
That all worldviews are kind of go back to our understanding of God.
Right.
So I would say a biblical worldview comes back to understanding Jesus, a biblical Jesus, and having that be the lens that we see life through. And he's also the one that we are looking at. So a biblical worldview is we look through Jesus at Jesus. That's really kind mm-hmm. of summation of, I would say, a biblical view, how yeah. to view the life.
So when you say we look through Jesus and at Jesus, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we've been studying 1 John in Sunday school, and the very first few verses of 1 John, he's describing to his readers, he's saying, listen, you know, I saw Jesus, we walk with Jesus, he is, you know, eternal life, and he says to his readers, I want you guys to share in that with me, or koinonia is the word there, the share in common. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. he says, I want us to share a common, basically a common worldview. You could say you would have a common worldview to see the truth of Jesus together. And so if I'm looking through Jesus, then if you and I share the same worldview, then because of Jesus, we view family, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. same, right? Because we see Jesus, because we're looking at Jesus and we're thinking like Jesus, we're seeing the world through Jesus's eyes, we see family the way Jesus does. So mm-hmm. you and I would share a similar view on family.
Mm-hmm.
You see someone doing something wrong, because we share Jesus together, a biblical Jesus, now we share the same view of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. We see Jesus together, so we share the same view of where we came from, that Jesus was the one that, you know, like John 1, you know, all things are created through him, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we share Jesus together, we see our eternal destiny that Jesus promised, that, you know, he said in John 14:6, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll mm-hmm. come back mm-hmm. to be with you. You know, that eternity or heaven is not a place, it's not where we are, it's going to be who we're with mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so sharing Jesus together, we see that same Jesus together, we share that same worldview, so we see the world mm. the same.
Mm-hmm.
If I have an atheist friend, for instance, we can both enjoy the Cubs together, but we're not going to see marriage the same way. We're not going to see the evils in our society the same way, because we don't share the foundation sure. the same.
So you're talking like seeing through Jesus. I love that that I guess phrase to look through Jesus at Jesus. When we say through Jesus, we're talking about his priorities, his characters, really being discipled by Jesus. We have the same priorities and the values.
Yeah, we have the same mind. Have the mind of Christ. Paul writes about this over and over again. Or Hebrews 12, you know, says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author of our faith and the perfecter of it. So he's not only the originator, but he is the champion or the model to strive for, you know. So a biblical way of looking at the world is, you know, really centers in who we believe Jesus to be. Mm-hmm. Do we have faith in Jesus, a biblical Jesus, or are we, you know, looking through life with a different lens?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a question for you. So it sounds like we need to know and study this Jesus. I mean, to have a biblical worldview, it goes back to how what we see through and who we're looking at. And we would argue that that is Jesus Christ. So a question. So Matthew 7, right? Jesus gives a parable of these people who thought they knew God, right? They thought they were doing the right thing, and they thought they even knew Jesus. And in this parable, Jesus says there were many. On the day when the Lord comes back and judges, many will say to him on that day, you know, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name, right? They're doing these things in the name of Jesus, in the name of their God. And so it's like a plot twist there, because Jesus, in the parable, God looks at them and says, I never knew you. Away from me. And so when you say we have to know, you know, we have to know and see through and see at this Jesus, what does that mean? Because apparently these guys were doing amazing things. I've never met people who have prophesied and maybe a few who cast out demons, but really, if I saw someone like that in the church, I'd be like, wow, they really know God. Like they really know who Jesus, like they're like a super saint, you know what I mean? And yet they did all these great things in the name of God, and they never knew this Jesus. So how does that fit into knowing Jesus?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Yeah, yeah. Many will say, hey, I did all these things. And they'll say, depart from me, I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not what we do that makes us righteous. It is who we know, who we have faith and trust in, you know, that makes us righteous. And so when our faith and trust is in Jesus, then his righteousness becomes our righteousness, the Bible tells us. Mm. You see, so many people, again, it goes back to our questions, right? There are many people that would recognize the problem is actually in me. In fact, you could even be an atheist, right? You could be an atheist and think, yeah, I got problems. The problem's in me.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go to fix those problems? That really defines where your faith is in. And if the problem is in me, and so me is going to fix my problem, then my faith is in me. My faith isn't in, you know, someone or something else. My faith might be, say, in my family, or maybe in my education, or maybe my faith is I'm a part of a church, right? Yeah. I'm part of a religious group. I mean, that was what was going on in the first century. The Jews were part of a rich history that had prophets and promises made to them. And they thought that because they were connected to that, that they were good. Because they fulfilled, quote unquote, all these ritualistic expectations that were laid out in the Old Testament, that somehow made them right with God. Jesus said, hey, you can do everything and you're still not right with me, because it's not about being righteous because of what you do. It's being righteous because of who you know, who you have a relationship to. And so John defined eternal life as a relationship, right? What's the opposite of eternal life?
Eternal death.
Eternal death. And when we say eternal life and eternal death, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a destination? Are we talking about relationship? Physical death is a consequence of sin. And what is so horrible about physical death is it separates people that are alive. Death separates. Death, sin separates, right? Relationships.
Right. Sin is the spiritual death of someone, not necessarily the physical.
Yeah. Well, like a physical death, right? I mean, why do people mourn and cry at funerals? Because someone that they have a relationship with, they love, is gone. That they are physically separated because of death. Sin not only causes physical death, but also spiritual death. So when we say, you know, eternal death, that means eternal relational separation. Eternal life is relationship restored. John said this in John 17, He said, this is an eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Yeah.
That eternal life is about relationship with a person. And so this is what you're talking about Matthew 7. Depart from me, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You see, the Jews were very religious. The Apostle Paul, I mean, what did he say? He said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, that according to the Old Testament law, he was zealous. And he crossed every T and dotted every I.
He was sold out.
He was sold out. And he was so passionate that he was on the road to Damascus, right? Mm-hmm. To do what?
To slaughter.
To kill Christians because he thought that they were being blasphemous, calling this Jesus God, because the Bible was clear. There's only one God. And every good, devout Jew understood Deuteronomy 6, you know, the Shema here, O Lord, our God, the Lord is one. There's one, only one God, which is true. Mm-hmm. There is one God, but the Bible also says that he exists in three persons.
Right.
Which I can't explain. I don't understand.
Yeah, we're not going to do a podcast
on that. We're not going to do that, But all that to say that Paul, before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, would have been one of those people in Matthew 7. Mm. You have done all these religious things, and you have tried to keep your life pure. Depart from me. I don't know you.
It was all head knowledge for him. He knew a lot. He could quote scripture. He did a lot. But the knowledge of God, like you're saying, it wasn't just like an IQ test. It's not like he could pass the spiritual, I don't know, Bible school exam. It was, do you know, like, the relationship? Do you know, like, you know, I know about, you know, Elon Musk, but I don't know Elon Musk, right? And there's a sense of we know things about, we could maybe pass, you know, 10 facts about Elon Musk, but I'm not his friend, right? I don't know what he does when he has a bad day. I don't know, you know, the things that he cherishes, the most precious things to him.
I mean, the only thing we know about him is what we read on the internet.
Right.
And anymore, can we even trust that with all the AI stuff going on?
That's true. But I think that's a good separation of the two, because I think a lot of Christians think, oh, I have a biblical worldview because I went to Awana and got the Timothy Award. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I have a biblical worldview because, you know, I went to Sunday school and VBS. And yet we might even go on to say, I have a biblical worldview because I've done good things. I've gone on mission trips. I've helped people at Salvation Army. Goodness, I could even be a pastor, right? But if we don't relationally know, if we don't know Jesus,
if we're not seeking to grow and cultivate that relationship, because there's a lot of people that claim Jesus but think like the world. They have the viewpoint of the world. They have the lenses of the world. And the world, and we have an enemy that is always trying to corrupt our view, corrupt the lenses that we're looking through. And this is why Paul writes, we've talked about this too, Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy that depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. It always comes back to Jesus. And so to really have a biblical worldview and to cultivate and grow that means that we have to pursue Jesus wholeheartedly. We have to get to know him, have to seek him, have to understand his perspective on things and how he thinks. And so when we start thinking like Jesus, we start seeing the world through a Jesus lens.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But what's a good application question? What's a question that will help our listeners, I guess, have a more biblical worldview? What's a good AQ for this episode?
That's a good question, Tori. What is a good application question?
Well, thank you.
So in your view of life, in your worldview, where does Jesus fit? Is Jesus something that you think about on Sunday morning, but not the rest of the week? Do you think about your finances during the week based upon the latest economic, you know, guru? Do you think about politics based upon Fox News? Do you think about family according to, pick?
Yeah.
Or do you bring Jesus into all those areas of life? Because your worldview is your collection of ideas that shape how you view the world and reality. And so where does Jesus fit into your worldview today?
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, do you put on your worldview glasses on Sundays and Wednesday nights, or do you keep them on all week? Do we replace, replace our worldview when it doesn't fit in our work week, when it doesn't fit in my friends at school, when it doesn't fit, you know, with my certain activities or what I do online or whatever? And if we were picking and choosing when we have a quote biblical worldview, we don't have a biblical worldview. Because like you said, Jesus is not just who we look at, it's whom we look through. And that's what makes a biblical worldview biblical. It's always about Jesus. That's good. It's a good word. Thank you, Puma. And guys, thank you so much for joining us this podcast. We just so enjoy being able to have the privilege to even record and to share with you guys. If you have any questions, as always, you can email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to connect with you guys. And I'm really excited for the podcast coming up because of our worldview, because of our biblical worldview, there are some legit questions. Okay, why? How do you know it's true? Some apologetic-esque questions.
Yeah. So if you're having a biblical worldview, how do you know the Bible's true?
Yeah.
Or how do you know that the Jesus of the Bible is the real Jesus, or is he God? There's all kinds of questions that spawn from this, and we'll probably dip our toe into those waters a little
bit. Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be good. Hey, guys, we'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10. Till then, bye.
Bye-bye.